Blog Talk Radio. Hello, radiant light beings. Welcome to Awakenings. That was a bit of Golden Sun by Thunderbeat. Wonderful musician and spiritual teacher, and also an amazing shaman, shorts with the chakras. I'm Michelle Mache, your host and co-pilot in this divine travel that we're all doing, this divine time traveling. I hope everybody is doing really well, and I want to say hi to everyone that's already coming in the chat room, Sacred Space of Empowerment. It's great to see all of you, and it's great to feel all of you that are listening via phone and Cosmic Dimensions as well as other stations. And those that are downloading, because I know I have some friends that have been sending people awakenings throughout the States, and actually in England also. So I wanted to say hello to all of you. You are with us, even if you're listening after the fact of the original show and air date. You are still with us because there really is no time, right? It's all right here, right now. So it's just different expressions of time or different dimensions or densities of time that make us think that something is in the past or the present or the future. So we really are all one. The name of the game now, if we want to call it a game, is evolution. And we're going to be diving more into that in various ways and various forms. Also, I want to let people know that if you would like to call in, either to listen or ask questions, you can call at 347-539-5122. And apparently if you press, I think it's the number one, then I will know, a little hand will go up and people will know that, I will know that you have a question. So apparently if you press number one, but even if you don't, I'll notice and I'll pick up via switchboard, and sometimes people say, oh, I'm just listening, which is fine. And then sometimes people have a comment or feedback. I think it was Energy Muse Amber, I remember. I can't think of her chat name right now, but Amber had some wonderful insights at one point for us that we really, really appreciated. What is awakenings? What are we doing here? We're celebrating our waking up. We're celebrating that we are awake, we are aware, and that we're taking it into our everyday living, and that we are the star seeds. We are the seated ones. You know, everyone's seated, but, oh, Reiki's taking off. Have a great day. Going to school. Okay, catch it in the archives. So in that format that we're co-creating here, there is a converging flow that's happening all over the world, and we are a part of it. And if actually, if you would say even the universe, it's happening with the elementals, it's happening with the, you know, four-leggeds, the two-leggeds, it's happening in the mountains, it's happening in the air, it's happening in the clouds, it's happening deep in the water, and it's happening on the surface of the water. There is a converging flow for all organisms, species, walks of life, all animation of life, that life force animating energy, the pranic energy of the all that is, from which we all emanate from, is in a major evolution, a major change. And we are participants in this, conscious participants. And that's a big difference. A lot of times there's been major evolutionary changes, but not everyone was aware that they were participants. And in this awakening state, more and more people are becoming aware that they're also participating. And that's why it's important to get a lot of tools, a lot of processes, a lot of information out there into the ethers, you know, into the masses, so that people have the tools to know, wow, I can change my beliefs. And wow, if I change my beliefs, then I'm creating life-enhancing change, positive change for those around me, not only me, those around me. And then maybe that extends out. And actually it does. People start waking up to this. You know, I start living better. People around me start living better. And it just starts this amazing flow. And the, can someone try to answer a question for me? Yes. Are you on that line? I'm going to, let's see if somebody. Hi, you're on the air with Awakenings, 215-917. Hello? Are you just listening? Okay, they had their hand up, and I just want to make sure that people are getting answered. Yeah, Mystic Light is saying, I think that, okay, 215-917, I think you're just listening. So be careful not to press 1, because then I will think that you have a question. But it's cool to just call in and listen. In fact, it's just great. I have some people that are going to be listening today driving up north, so actually around Santa Barbara. So they'll be on their cell phone, which is wonderful. Isn't that great that you can listen to Awakenings while you're driving in your car? Let's see. So somebody is saying, okay, in the chat room, I've talked to several people about a situation in my life. Half of them say yes, things are going to be how I want them to be. Half say no to move on, and so I'm confused. That's a case for meditation, for going within. You know, you can ask people, but, you know, actually, and I don't really know what the full question is, Jube, so just to, and I'm sure some people in chat will have some ideas on it, and you can perhaps get some insight from the people in the sacred space of empowerment. I would say whenever there's confusion, more facts are needed, and journaling is a great thing to do. Getting into that meditative state where you're in a neutral space, a neutral place, where you don't have to have something happen or not happen, because a lot of times we can co-create things by the ego or predominantly to the ego. So, yeah, I figured it was about a relationship. One thing that's very clear, if something is life-enhancing, then you're going towards your own personal evolution and connecting in with the collective evolution. And sometimes it's something that, you know, we're doing. We need to make an adjustment. I can give you some tools if you go to my website, selfenlight.com, and somebody can even put the site in where there's a projection perception. There's a wonderful process on the site, as well as a basic clearing to do emotional clearing so you can get clearer. That's also on the site where you can just download free and print it out. Another thing that you can do, let's see, separation happened due to someone's outside interference. Well, yeah, we never know. You know, it's interesting. Juba saying something about something seeming to happen from someone else or outside interference. It's amazing in this, you know, unfolding of our life, we have things that happen by our inner state sometimes. Not always. I mean, there's really no absolute. We have lots of shades of gray in this world, right? There's, you know, many shades, many colors. And what I mean by that is the enlightenment, the true enlightenment comes by knowing which is which, when to speak up, when not to, when is not speaking up holding you back. When is speaking up too much holding you back? When is having your way holding you back? Or when do you need to assert yourself more? Because everyone's at a different level of self-development and spiritual integration. It's really individual. So sometimes something happens because we're growing or shifting and something really isn't serving us as well as the other person and the greater good anymore. Sometimes it seems like an external situation, but it's really coming from our inner soul, our inner knowing, and we're drawing something in to assist us that seems to be external or outside. And sometimes it is external. There is an external situation. And in a way, we, on an ego personality level, we say, God, that's not fair. You know, that's not right. That's not fair. However, at a certain position in time, a moment in time, whether hours, days, weeks, or year, months later, sometimes it takes years, we look back and we see that the situation unfolded as it needed to, because perhaps there was something we weren't seeing. Even if we weren't consciously calling in the change, on some level, that change point, even if it's from the space of, you know, the all that is, somehow that change is getting us in a new direction. It's redirecting us to an area of more fulfillment. And I find, too, if things, for me, I know that if there, and I see this with clients and people I've worked with all over the world, if I see that there's a delay on something, I'm knowing that more facts are needed. Something in the situation isn't quite marinating yet, or isn't quite right, isn't quite synergistic, isn't quite gelling. Now, it might be that someone just needs to learn patience, or someone needs to focus more on themselves in their life. Maybe they're too other-directed. Some people in their life are very other-directed, so they're always looking outside, whether to the relationship, to the job. They're looking outside for their sense of self or fulfillment. Some people are too self-directed, where it's all about themselves, their needs, their wants. And so in that sense, there needs to be a balance of being self-directed and other-directed. And anything that helps assist in the self-development or spiritual integration. Jube is asking in the chat, is there anything that you can do to mentally reinforce that I want that perfect relationship we were building? I'm going to say something that sounds so cliche-ish, but it really is true, is when things like this happen, if you step back, there's something you need to connect with within yourself. It's about you building that perfect relationship with you. Now, mind you, there is going to be a sense of loss. You know, obviously you care about somebody and they're gone, and you know, depending how bonded you are, it can be pretty challenging. It can be pretty sad and, you know, difficult. But if you keep bringing it back, what was I trying to get from that relationship? What was I trying to get from there? You know, what was that relationship completing for me? What problem was it answering? What was my intention in this relationship? And keep bringing it back to you, Jube. If you keep bringing it back to you, you'll begin to see what you need to complete within yourself, or what you need to focus on within yourself. Now, that's not to say we don't want to have relationship, because we do, but we're constantly in relationship. We're relationship to everything and everyone. I would say if you bring it back to you and what it is that you want, and again, on the website, there's even some great tools, the 5-step emotional clearing process, that CD, the Universal Laws talks about clearing and building up so that you are resonating at a level to draw in what is for your highest fulfillment, highest good, or the most life enhancement. That is one thing to do. There's a wonderful book, too, by author Carol Pearson, Awakening the Heroes Within, that I've used for many years with people that I've worked with. And I find it especially helps with the relationship, you know, breakup situation, because you can look and see what energy that you're operating off of. And there's some wonderful even exercises in there to kind of remap your life and take this situation that's happened and use it for a growth situation, to have more growth and more self-awareness. The other thing that I would suggest to people is to, you know, we have many soulmates, so instead of asking for a soulmate or looking for the one, focus on the qualities of the person that you want to draw in or synchronistically meet, if you want to put it that way. The qualities that you want for a shared partnership or a light partnership or a helpmate, those kinds of situations. Look at what are the qualities of the person, as well as what are the qualities of the situation, whether it's about a relationship or whether it's a job situation. If you focus always on the qualities, then that's when your higher self starts taking over. And you get what the ego wants also, some input there, but it's so much more inclusive, it's so much more expanded and so much more fulfilled and fulfilling if you just focus on the qualities or the feeling tones of things, the essence, not the emotion. We need the emotion. Emotion, again, is that carrier wave, that energy and motion. But if you, again, go back to those qualities, that's going to draw you to what you really need and want. Now, what's interesting is that in this evolutionary process right now that we're all going through, and the cosmos is a part, as we are the cosmos, a part of the cosmos, everything and everyone is going through. There is a strong focus on right relationship and right livelihood. But it starts with us. It's that right relationship to ourselves. And sometimes what we wanted in the past isn't relevant any longer. It's not supporting the new directive. And that directive is coming from our higher self. So sometimes we are directed in another area, but we have goals or dreams or plans, and our ego personality is still going for what we were wanting in the past. Okay, so one of the things that's really important right now in this, we're in, you know, a quickening phase in our evolutionary process. As Dr. Bruce Lipton says, we don't have time to wait, you know, years or hundreds of years for this transition and change needs to happen now. That's why so much happening that's recorded material, not to say books won't be coming out, but it's really, you know, about getting to get the downloads are happening so quickly, and the shifting is happening so quickly, and the understanding is happening so quickly. And the new forms are coming in to reflect the new consciousness. So in that instant, because we're participants, but we're also being worked on or worked upon. So it's both. We're being worked on or worked upon. We're being up-leveled, up-shifted, as well as participating in this. So that right livelihood and right relationship starts with us. Are we in a right relationship to ourselves? Is there a balance there? Are parts of us being expressed that need to be expressed? And that's why, again, I suggested that book, Awakening the Heroes Within, because you can begin to see your life as archetypal energy, that the lever begins with communication within yourself and balance within yourself. It's really about balance and wholeness. Is that happening with the creator? Are you self-expressing? Are you creating? The orphan, you know, are you feeling abandoned or left? Is that a chronic pattern? Do you feel safe in the world? So that safety, has a lot to do with, do you draw in that right relationship or right livelihood? That's a big focus of that. You know, is if you're not feeling safe, it's hard to extend or express out into the world more fully or in a fulfilled way. So part of what this is about is feeling safer in the world, feeling connected, but that connection starts from within. And as we see each other as reflections of us to some degree, the reflections, there's a similarity, but also that there are differences, that we all have differences. That's our individuation, our individuated consciousness. And that individuated consciousness does not have to be scary. It does not have to be scary. That's the old paradigm, that it has to be scary. And also within this right relationship is, how can I bond? How can I be connected? And yet, when the situation changes, how can I feel the love and connect to the love and be willing to go in a different direction if that's need be? And one of the things is, in relationship, because we're always in relationship to, and like I said earlier, everything and everyone, it's just to the degree of perceived closeness on a physical level and a mental emotional level. If we can always remember that we're connected spiritually. Now I know that doesn't help so much about with it doesn't help so much when you're going through the pain of the breakup or the loss. Yet it is true. So sometimes if we connect in with that truth, and open that, you know, is we're going to have Friday, this Friday, Carol K. Anthony, who wrote the book, A Guide to the I Ching, and the I Ching says you leave a window open, you know. So you leave a window open for that situation or that person, and I like to say this or something better, and not better that the other one wasn't good, but that reflects which is most relevant to where we are now. Now, that brings up another thing. We need to be very adaptable and very flexible in this new age that we're co-creating, this age of light. And why is it called light or the age of enlightenment? It's the recognition that we are light beings. You know, we're comprised of various degrees or various wavelengths and frequencies of energy and light. And when we look at if you start looking at yourself more like that and feeling yourself more like that, you do begin to lighten up. It's much easier to change or alter belief patterns when you don't see it so heavy and so dense, when you see it as an energetic pattern that you can change the energy of the quality of energy. You know, if you're very driven to have an amazing, you know, life or with someone, create that life for yourself. Look at it as an energy, that you're molding this energy. You're focusing on this energy and molding it, and you're creating it, and now you want to share that with someone. Now, one thing that's interesting I wanted to just tap into before our guest is going to be calling, who is amazing, being I haven't talked to him in a while, but we actually did a television show together. So we've kept into contact over the years, and he's got an amazing book. I think it's just out, Evolutionary Astrology. It's a practical handbook and textbook. So he's going to be giving a lot of insight into this, as well as answering questions, astrological questions, and spiritually incited questions also. One of the things that's really important in the Aquarian age is that we've been integrating, if you notice, the physical aspect of our being, you know, the denser physical form, let's say the place of the form, as well as the mental, emotional, the spiritual. More people are aware that they are spiritual beings, that there is a spirit that animates the life force energy, and that when that spirit leaves, there's no more animation. You know, whether it's a plant, a tree, or a human body being, or an animal being, the body being dissipates, it dissolves, right? It disappears. But that spirit remains on. You're going to see that more are now connecting, and there's going to be more awareness on the soul, that we're also a soul, that we come in with a divine signature, a pattern of energy, if you will, that comprises our soul. And the soul also goes on. The soul is the sum total of all our life or dimensional experiences. So when you start living soulfully or from the soul, you live more fulfilled. You live more and more from the totality of who you are as a spiritual being and what you know and what you've experienced. And so part of the new paradigm, if you will, is bringing in the awareness of the soul. The soul is our individuality. Our soul, the outpicturing of our soul, or our soul in form, is our physical body. And our true, authentic likes and dislikes and what we're meant to do, how we do whatever we do. So when you're living soulfully, you connect with your soul tribe. And that's what we're all doing here, conscious saying yes. Yes, that's it. We're connecting. You know, we incarnate in these soul clusters. So, and there's little clusters. I like to look at them as grapes. But then all the clusters are together. You know, there may be 3, 4, or 5 clusters that really harmonize, resonate, groove together really well. But those clusters are created and connected to other clusters and other clusters and other clusters and on and on and on. So the soul is really important, because as you can live more from your soul's directives, you have a more fulfilled life. You live more in harmony. That allows others to live a more soul life. In other words, their individuality is celebrated. And in that celebration, you begin to celebrate the individuality, as the personal you, as well as the collective you. And you see them as one in the same, but just a different facet. So if we are clay, let's say we're clay, we still come from, and we're an image in that clay. That's what it says in the Bible, the image of God, which I look at God as the all that is. We're in the image, so we're all the same. We're all from the same cloth. That's where it comes from, cut from the same cloth. But the ethers, we're all from the same ethers. But yet, some of us have had different experiences, even planetarily, coming from different planets, different focuses, different, you know, with different intentions. But we all sink in and work together. That this sinking in together is what makes life interesting. I like the consciousness that rain from storm. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. You know, that's a good point, because you think of, water. Look at all the forms of water. Rain, ice cubes, flowing water, running water, water out of the faucet, water in the ocean, water in the lake, water in the river. Did I miss any water in the pond? You know, there's all these different forms. And conscious in the chat is saying, well, these different experiences, which, okay, this rain falls in different locations of experiences. Yeah, I love that. That's a great analogy. Yeah. Whew. Yeah, it all falls in different forces, different places, and with different force. So you're going to see some energy or some rain is a little more forceful, some is a little lighter, but it's all coming from that same source. And yes, we are in the transmutation from liquid, ice, and gas. We are that. Yes, conscious. So cool. That's it. When you realize that we are these energetic light beings, and as conscious is putting in the chat, this transmutation of liquid, ice, and gas, which comprises us and the ethers, is that's what it's made of. Or if you look at it from a biological standpoint, we are these cells. You know, these millions of cells within the body, and then we're a cell also that's fitting in with the galactic cells. So that we're all connected on this cellular level, in the level of form, in the level of the formlessness, which is that level of the ethers or the resonant field. So how do we dance individually? We need to dance individually, but yet dance together. And that's by connecting with the soul. And that's this evolutionary process that we're in, so that we can celebrate ourselves as individuated aspects of the all that is, individuated consciousness. We're consciousness made manifest. So as we celebrate that, there can now be an awareness of tolerance, respect, and see the viability of those that are dancing a bit different than us, that their soul dances a little bit different. So, I'm sure there's a way to do the cha-cha and the mambo together. I'm sure you can do them both together. But it happens more when people are clearer and their consciousness is more expanded. They've cleared out the limiting beliefs, the patterns that don't work, the stuck energy. Once that's cleared, then it's easy. You're more loving yourself. And so in that sense, if we bring it back to relationship like Jude was talking about earlier, then it's easier to be in harmony or relationship with other people, even if they have to move on. So that key is that right relationship. And with the first right relationship that we have to connect with is with between the soul and the personality. So that whole idea, if we're going to look planetarily, Venus in Gemini, is that integration. Gemini is an integrating of our two halves, male and female, inward, outward, as above, as below. All that integration, and is it done with love, but for not love in a clutchy consumer way or codependent way of, I really love myself, so I'm buying all this stuff for myself now. It's like, no, are you harmonizing? Are you resonating in the true self-love or divine love, that you love yourself as an expression? That's what the soul alignment is. That's what aligning the soul to the personality is. Are you in love with yourself? You need to be in love with yourself. You need to love the expression that you came in as, And I've found, as I've tapped into that more and more, not only I'm so much more fun to be around, but I appreciate people more because I look at them and I go, wow, that's the expression that they came in as. It may not resonate with me totally or may not want to hang out with them, you know, forever, but I can see the relevance that everything fits together. Because when you begin to live from that perspective of the soul personality alignment, the personality is now under the directive of the soul with the spiritual impulse or energy, you realize that how you came in on this incarnation is exactly perfect. It's not only is it perfect, it's perfect, whole, and complete. It's perfect for what you're meant to do. And what you're meant to do here is perfect and fits into the whole of the all that is. Your peace is needed. Your reflection as a personality, soul, spirit is needed exactly as you are on the planet. I just want to read something by Rumi really quick that to me ties all this in. Rumi says, out there beyond the ideas of right doing and wrongdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. And what is that really saying? Beyond duality, beyond I have to be right and you have to be wrong, that there has to be a wrong and a right. There has to be a hot, there has to be a cold. Beyond the either or, there's a field. That's the resonant field of the all that is. That's the ascension. That's the expansion of consciousness. Well, we're beyond that right or wrong. We're in the space of what's right for right now. We're in the space of what's life enhancing. There's no more wrong or right. What's life enhancing? What's pro-survival for this evolution of our consciousness? Because sometimes things are right, and then another time they're not right for us. They're not appropriate for us. Yeah, I know. I love that quote too, Tammy. Tammy was saying there, yeah, out there beyond the ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. Ancient wisdom. And we have, I can see him on the line because he told me the number. We have coming on the air is Ulrich Bold, and he is the evolutionary astrologer I mentioned earlier. And amazing light being. And I just want to tell you a little bit about him. In his words, evolutionary astrology focuses on the soul's evolution and its core dynamics for the current life relative to the abilities, potential, fears, and karmic issues coming from experiences of previous lifetimes. A holistic and deep understanding for one's current life can be embraced through evolutionary astrology. It provides insights into who you are, why you are the way you are, thereby individual orientations for your daily and resolutions for your problems support your further evolution and growth. I think that sums it up. I mean, that ties in. I didn't even know. I mean, our talk, I didn't even necessarily know, but I knew. Obviously, we all know on a psychic level. And Ulrich has many, many years of coaching, counseling, and tutoring, as well as facilitating numerous workshops in Europe and North America. He is an amazing being. You can visit him at www.ulrichbold.com, and that's ulrichbold.com, and I'll put that in the chat also. Hi, Ulrich. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle. Lovely to hear your voice. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's so great
God.
To hear you. It's been
Same
so long.
Here. I was listening for the last, like, 5 minutes, and my heart just opened, and I'm like, I'm so happy that I made it. And to hear that you're doing such a wonderful job providing, you know, the pearls of wisdom, I kind of like was not sure if you mentioned that I'm German, so you know if my English is more oolish, then I please accept my apology.
This will be great. Well, actually, we have listeners. Germany, Sweden, France.
Okay.
Where else? England and the Europe. Turkey. We have a lot of different, all over. Am I missing anybody? Canada. A lot of different, of course, in the States. And you were just actually in Canada, weren't you?
Yes, I actually got back like a day ago, or 2 days ago, from like minus 26 degrees Celsius, which is really cold. I was in Calgary, work for a wonderful holistic clinic called Primace, which also has a website, primace.ca.
Primace.
Yeah, that's P-R-E-M-A-C-E. masai.ca. It's a former student of mine who created this wonderful kind of like clinic for like really holistic work and like expanding consciousness, and I'm really flattered that I made offer my services there based on evolutionary astrology, but also, you know, in the years, like after 9 years, I developed something that was based on what was formerly known as family sculpting, which is now called constellation work.
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, I want to talk about that. And by the way, people are welcoming you in the chat. Tammy says, loves your energy, and welcome, Ulrich. He's saying hello.
Thank you.
You got a hello for, yeah. And I put in the book, now, is the book available on Amazon now?
It is, yeah, it is on Amazon. It's just my name, as you spelled it before, U-L-R-I-C-H, like Ulrich. I rather pronounce it like Ulrich because the word rich is in it, which
Ulrich.
I'm not doing for the money, but for the abundance, you know.
Yeah.
But as you just stated before, if we start loving ourselves, then we basically have much more balanced relationship to other people. And so the book is Ulrich Bold, B-O-L-D, and it's just called Evolutionary Astrology, a practical text and handbook. So if you punch it in at Amazon.com, you know, it shows up and it should be delivered within like a couple of days.
Okay, so I'm putting that in the chat. And so everybody has it that are listening that are also not in the chat, or when you hear the archives or hear the Awakenings on iTunes, you can go to ulrichbold.com, and that's ulrichbold.com. Great.
Yes,
yeah, we have so much to dive into, because I also do want to talk about the constellation work, because I did a bit of that out here with Dr. Gruen.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and it was quite amazing, and I knew you were getting into that. And I also have to say hi from Diane Lerner, who had taken your workshop. Yeah, I think you had given a workshop on Pluto or something with Pluto as transformed.
Yeah.
And, and Tammy knows about constellation. Okay, so let's jump in there first. And, Ulrich, I'm going to keep track of everything we're talking about, where to go. So if we could just jump in real quick about the constellation work, because we have some questions about that already in the chat.
Okay. Do you want me to explain it first a little bit?
Yeah, that'd be great, and then share what you do with it. Yes.
Okay. Well, basically, you know, constellation work is based on the holistic approach that also Carl Gustav Jung was embracing, that we as individuals are part of a bigger whole, i.e. me, Ulrich, I'm part of my family, family's part of the ancestries, nation, etc. And very often when something happens within, you know, mundane life that the British so sweetly say shit happens, sorry for this word, but we all know that, you know, there's not only sunny days out there, even not in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's right.
That basically the question is, how do we process those kind of like, you know, things that happen? And the ancient Egyptians had the belief that our purpose is to keep our hearts as light and joyful as possible, which was seen in like their belief that when a person dies and the soul leaves the body, they would meet the god Seth. And Seth would take the heart out and put it onto a scale and weigh it against a feather. And when the heart would be lighter than a feather, then one would have eternal life. We find that
that's where that came from.
Yeah.
I knew that, but it came from the Egyptians?
Yes, it did. So there are actually some paintings where you see, like, Seth standing there with a scale, and that's basically, like, getting ready. And, like, Buddha said the same thing. The most important thing in life would be to smile at your heart at least once a day and to inhale. That would be all. Jesus Christ, as we know, said, like, the kingdom of God is inside of us. He also said, like, don't you know that we're all God and goddesses? So it's basically in cultural differences all referring to the necessity to live on the planet but not be off the planet, as Paramahansa Yogananda said. So basically constellation work looks at an individual, let's say, client, and if that client has unresolved problems that, especially when they reoccur, like anxieties, you know, to take an extreme, or just not being able, as you stated before, to love oneself the way we naturally are, because our social, parental, even religious conditioning prevents us from being who we naturally are, but we try so hard to fit into, like, expectations that are man-made, or as I like to say sometimes, patriarchally defined, as if we would take a dolphin and tell the dolphin, you know, swimming in the water is really bad and guilty, so you should be like a rabbit. You know, so a lot of dysfunctional problems actually happen by our social conditioning that are passed on to the generations. now.
I so agree.
Yes, and that's basically our work, that we help people to remember who they naturally are, because as you just stated so beautifully, we all have our natural function in the big biosphere, in the big cosmos. But the problem is, if that natural function is like burdened with expectations, you should not, etc., then often a lot of psycho-logical disturbances and imbalances are the result. Mm. So your wonderful job, as we know each other, I don't know, since Paramount Pictures, right?
Yeah, when we did the oracles with Paramount Pictures.
Which was, by the way, a blessing that the show did not fly, I think.
Oh, I know. Gosh, when you look now, I know.
Yes, because, but now you have your own radio show, and I think this is probably reaching out much more to the people that are open for it, you know, because we do have the free choice to say yes to evolution or to say no to it.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, you know what? I won't be censored. You know, they tried to censor me on that show
Don't say this. That's why it didn't fly, because, you know, basically we were pulling a lot of, like, truthful, wonderful statements out of our heads.
Yeah.
The amplified energy of us, you know, quote-unquote psychic ones. But, of course, you know, they were not allowed to broadcast anything about, like, you know, whatever, drug abuse, suicidal attempts, all those illegal things, which brings us back to the social conditioning of right and wrong. Whereas from a divine point of view, you know, I mean, God's love is so huge, or universe's love is so huge, that we are allowed to be how we naturally are. You know, and so basically, in constellation work, if, for instance, a former, let's say, grandfather or grandmother had gone through some pain, an ouch, some quote unquote, I have to repeat myself, shit happens, but due to the social and especially religious expectation of not going through, process it emotionally, sensually, going through grief, you know, all those kind of weakening feelings that we so hard to avoid in our modern times, then basically the heart stays burdened. And then when a later-born child is born, as children are naturally clairvoyant, opened, because the fontanelle is still opened, and they come from, as I say, heavenly car wash, if we believe in reincarnation, meaning like just, you know, getting the dirt of this last incarnation done, you know, a little bit of wellness, a little bit of pampering here and there, and then we have the next incarnation. So when the babies are born, their perception is overall clairvoyant, and they would see that mom is carrying some unresolved pain. Let's say she had lost the baby and had to suppress it, or even go through abortion, which sometimes the circumstances might force a woman or a couple to go through. And all those taboos are usually pushed underneath the carpet within the heart, within our emotional body, and are carried on. And we get used to those burdens, especially as we come from a cultural path. If you look into our last centuries of Jewish, Christian, religious dogma, I'm talking about the dogma, not about the content, where suffering was a kind of like a fashion, kind of like if I suffer most, I get some bonus scores on the other side.
Yeah.
And so basically the child would now, coming from compassion and unconditional love, you know, energetically, say to mom, Mom, I see that you're burdened, but I love you so much, and I'm nothing, because the ego has not developed yet. I take it on for you in the hope that I can resolve it for you. And that's how those energetic entanglements would happen.
Yeah.
So now if the baby grows up, she's identified with the same emotional pain, even patterns, even symptoms as her mother, even though in her life there's not the origin of that pain.
That's
so
right.
So constellation work basically tries via a very kind of like amazing work where you work with strangers that we call representatives and the morphogenetic field that I kind of like call the knowing field.
Yeah.
Where basically in such a group workshop, you know, Mrs. Miller would now say, I have problems loving myself or accepting a happy, healthy relationship. And after a little interview with a facilitator like me or many others that do it, Mrs. Miller would choose among the other members of the workshop the representative that stands for her mom and one that stands for herself. Now, there's Mrs. Smith and Mrs., I don't know, someone else.
Right.
And she would touch these people, these representatives, and place them in the room standing wherever it feels right. And then the magic kind of happens via the morphogenetic field, the knowing field, the invisible knowledge of everything. It works a little bit like, you remember Scotty when he beamed me up, Scotty?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So basically, Mrs. Smith would now be in that energy of the mom. And within seconds, because it's much more intense, she would perceive via her own body the energy of the person she stands for and would be able to express the emotions, the thoughts, and even the physical complaints. And then a trained facilitator, who needs, of course, a lot of intuition, would now see that the mom, meaning Mrs. Miller, who stands in the energy, is burdened by the unresolved grief and eventually the sense of failure of having lost a child before the daughter was born. Now, he would put another person in as like the lost baby. Now, Mrs. Miller, in the role of the mom, would cry her eyes out and release the pain and, you know, embrace the baby, give her a place in the heart as the first child, and then she would be able to see her second child and embrace the child and give the right to the child what is naturally, what we in psychology call primary narcissism, meaning for the first year, roughly around, that the baby has the right that the world sees it and spoils it. And when that deep sense of being welcomed and seen and thus loved, the way I naturally am, if that is given, the child is able to build roots deep within in the emotional body and feel safe and good about themselves, and to, from there to grow up. So basically, growing up means that we have emotional roots in our family of origin, that we do not carry any kind of identifications, but that we're able, for instance, when we carry some, to release them via those constellation work. It's a very, very powerful, wonderful work that is, basically, it's very ancient, but it was actually a German guy called Bert Hellinger who kind of like made it famous again. You know, in psychology, it's called systematic constellation work, or he called it family constellation.
That's where I heard it, family constellation. Yeah.
Family constellation. Actually, like when he started here in the U.S., more on the East Coast, because I was one of the first who did it like in California, I said, like, you know, I don't like the word family sculpting. That's, you know, that sounds more like, you know, Michelangelo or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So I said, like, why don't we do constellation? Because in the word constellation, stella is Italian or Latin for the stars. And I'm basically an astrologer. So basically the word constellation work that they use now was kind of like, you know, my idea when I was sitting in Laguna Beach on the rocks and asking for some inspiration. But it's really, so it's really powerful work. And like just to round it up, what I'm doing is basically other facilitators that were trained by Hellinger and his folks, which are really amazing, they often use the client as the only source of information about his life, her life, or the family kind of like system. Now, as I'm a reincarnation astrologer or evolutionary astrology, I think like now 18 years of professional business, and I'm still 43, so I'm quite still a young guy. At least when I was trying to make myself.
We all are. We started early. We started early in the in the earth years.
Yes, we did. We did, you know. So, you know, there's quite some experience that I have in the meantime, you know. And so basically, I have the opportunity to look into a natal horoscope to see how the imprint of childhood was, how, you know, eventually mom had identifications, unresolved burdens that she schlepped. You know, I love this word. I know it's not English.
I love schlepped. No, Polish. I love schlepped.
Yeah, schlepped. I think it's Yiddish. You know, Yiddish is very close to German. Yeah, before like this, you know, before this like Austrian kind of screwed our reputation, you know. But anyway, so basically, you know, when someone, you can see the entanglements in a horoscope just via like a very astro-logical, you know, following, as in astrology, usually a sign is ruled by a planet, and therefore we can always see, you know, as if like President Obama is visiting Germany, then he brings the American culture into the German culture, and we have to make combinations. So basically, astrology and constellation work, they are based on the same holistic, systematic point of view. And so one needs, of course, a very strong right brain, meaning a logical one, but also a very strong developed right brain, meaning I know that I know without knowing that I know, intuitive slash even psychic eventually, to then balance these two things as we're both, as you just stated so beautifully before you picked up my call, that Venus in Gemini, that we're dual beings. That's why the word individuality, that's the word duality right in it. So we're trying always to deal with being children of the earth and dealing with mundane matters, time, space, aging, all those kind of shit happens, as the British say. And on the other hand, we know that we are internal beings, that we have a self, but not the yourself, meaning, or myself as one word, but my space, capital S, self. So that's kind of like what constellation work is about. I do have a Jupiter in the third house in Gemini, so when you make me talk, I talk endlessly.
Oh, that's great. It's perfect for what you do. Jupiter in the third?
Yeah.
1320 is saying they have Venus in Gemini. Yeah, okay, some good. So we got some Gemini energy happening here. So.
A
lot of communication.
And Jupiter and Venus, they love to dance together. You know, it's just like, you know, because Venus is like the love goddess. Yeah, and she's very sensual, and Jupiter is this kind of like generous, kind of like sometimes going overboard, like in kind of like exaggeration. You know,
and the
like
goddess loves that.
Yes, I know. Of course, if Venus is the love god, you know, who wants to have
that's
one
right.
rose if you can have an abundance?
That's right. Give me more.
Exactly. So that's basically this constellation work. And I just, as you said, I came back from Calgary where I did like, you know, a lot of this work. And,
did you do constellation work there?
Yeah, I primarily do because, you know, this holistic clinic there, they do a lot of body work, you know, some counseling, and offer sometimes when there's really deep entanglements or identifications, meaning problems where we see that the problem is not that the individual has a problem, but that the individual is identified with unresolved issues from previous members of the family that can even be members that we've never known. Let's say the mother's brother turned gay, but the family said, like, we don't want to deal with you. We will never mention your name again. And, you know, 10 or 15 years later, a baby son is born. He might look into the energy of mom, into the clairvoyant, in the overall energy, and see that her mom is sad for expelling the son. So he might now put on the energy, like a costume, to substitute the brother of the mother. And would like, you know, develop gay behaviorism or even think that he's gay. That's why we say identification, meaning his ego perception about himself would be identified with being gay, even though in the big picture, he's only substituting the uncle who was expelled. Because every family system or every system always tries, like God or like Mother Nature, to integrate, to allow what is. Like even the ugly cockroaches, right, are a part of our biosphere, right? And they have their function.
They have their function, yeah.
Of course, you know, I mean, I particularly don't like them, you know. Of course not, I'm German.
Right.
You know, we
I don't like them either, yeah.
Okay, to see. But basically, you know, our societies, and if you look back in time, which would bring me a little bit into evolutionary astrology, if that is okay with you to mention.
Yeah.
Basically, our cultural history, going far, far back, for the last roughly around 6,500 years, everywhere in human cultures, a shift had happened from what I call the matriarchal approach. And I don't mean like to glorify women or that like women should be president. I mean, I think they should be president. But what I'm saying is like the matriarchal societies or perception of life is based on natural law or on Mother Earth. And if we observe Mother Earth, we see a couple of things that are the core natural law, i.e. that life manifests in a diversity of life forms and thus life functions. And that these life forms are all interrelated, meaning we need each other, not from a codependent point of view, but the air I breathe is also the air you breathe, and eventually some listener in Sweden breathes. So we are basically one or many in the one. Yeah. I was just in San Francisco yesterday at Fisherman's Wharf, and usually they have these soap bubbles, like these clowns with these huge soap bubbles, right? I don't know if you've ever seen them. If you look at the surface of those soap bubbles, you basically see that the particles are constantly moving, like weather, over the atmosphere of planet Earth. And we are like these particles, so we're in constant process of moving or becoming, and yet the bubble of the soap bubble stays the same. So that's the paradox that we sometimes have a problem to embrace, that we are eternal and yet not eternal, because our body is aging. We know for sure that one day, you know, we have to leave the body. That's what people call dying. which, if you embrace reincarnation astrology, or reincarnation in general, we just see it as if changing clothes, going a little bit to sleep, washing off the mundane dirt, this heavenly car wash I mentioned before. So basically, 6,500 years ago, mankind, I think due to global warming and climate changes, because certain ice ages started like to change, they started another form of belief or meaning of belief of the meaning of life, which became patriarchal. And patriarchal, nothing against men, I'm a man myself, but basically over time they invented a belief that God would be a male person outside of us in the heavens, and they mix up heaven with the sky, and basically that this one God outside of us, who is man, would be perfect, and we would be his children, supposedly perfect too, but as we're somehow not perfect, but somehow screwed up, according to the dogma, we now deserve atonement and suffering, and that is the whole patriarchal thing that we still have in our societies, which we can see, for instance, natives here in Northern America, they found, like scientists found, that certain native tribe lived in a nomadic way for 11,000 years in the same kind of like areas, without any harm to nature nor any war. And, you know, we are basically like, you know, think of industrialization, like roughly around like 100 years, and we're like close on the edge of like killing our climate. So basically, this kind of like patriarchal approach that often believes one way is the right way of all of us, or for all of us, is broken down into the parental education, religious dogma, the right and wrongs that are often a violation of nature. And so basically, evolutionary astrology, is it still okay that I dwell on that?
Yeah, yeah. What's evolutionary astrology? Yeah.
Okay. Evolutionary astrology.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, I can. Evolutionary astrology bases its philosophy on the on a statement of the teacher of Paramahansa Yogananda, who got famous by the autobiography of a yogi.
Oh, I didn't
know.
The
teacher's name is Sri Yukteswar. Swami Sri Yukteswar, a wonderful wise man. There's a wonderful little book out there that's called Holy Science. I mean, this man was just amazing. And even like in the book Autobiography of a Yogi, oh, excuse me, didn't you live in Encinitas once?
Yeah, I did, so I know of it. Yeah, and I've studied at SRF, Self-Realization Fellowship, up in, in Encinitas. Well, actually studied up in the Palisades. Yeah.
Okay, lovely.
Yeah.
So there's one book about like the stars, or one chapter in the book, and Paramahansa Swami Sri Yukteswar says that a soul incarnates in the moment when the planetary constellations are in alignment with the individual karma, and then he says therefore the natal birth horoscope or birth chart is the reflection of the unchangeable past. Well, that gives a total different perspective on a natal chart. So basically, us evolutionary astrologers, we look at the natal chart, meaning the moment when a person was born and took its own first breath, became its own individual, and we look at the planets at the birthplace, above the sky, below the sky, left, right, or east, west, and they're in signs and also in houses or fields, meaning like a sun at around noon is, of course, a different sun, and I would rather go suntanning then than right after sunset, because then the sun is gone. So we look at the overall natal chart, but we see that symbolically as the kind of like culminated symbolic language of who the person was before it was born, meaning who the person or the soul, what they had gone through before this incarnation started. And with that kind of technique that is really amazing, and it's called evolutionary astrology, that was... Oh, it got very famous by my former teacher, Jeffrey Green, which he wrote the book. He wrote the book Pluto, The Evolutionary Journey of the Soul, which I think is not available anymore. It's a very, it's very deep, but, you know, Jeff is very deep too. And I basically was blessed after my little story because I once had a chart reading done by a friend, and there were some true spots about it, but I was really upset afterwards. So I was walking around like a lake in Hamburg, Germany, and I said, like, listen, God, I'm going to prove to you that astrology is a hoax. And I promise you, if I ever, ever, ever should do a reading, in case this whole thing works, which I really doubt, if I ever do a reading, I'll promise that it will be uplifting and honest. believe it or not, that night dreams started. And for 2.5 years, I had intense dreams that I did not know how to understand. And it was basically me traveling through spaces, planets were visiting me, teaching me things, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But in the morning, I did not know anymore. And then I started to learn from, like, a German guy, the basic astrology, which kind of bored me very, very quickly. And then I met, like, Jeff Green. And when he gave a lecture, you know, and in his intensity, I went like, whoa, this is it. So I was blessed to be one of his first students when he was teaching this evolutionary astrology. And even more so, I was blessed that I was one of the first who got, like, the certificate. So I was one of the first worldwide being certified in doing evolutionary astrology, which, of course, you know, suddenly people wanted me to do lectures and readings and help them with astrology and all those kind of things.
Now, how is evolutionary astrology different from, let's say, Western astrology?
Oh, lovely question. Thank you so much. And you also stopped by Jupiter and Gemini, you know, evolution words. but now we have a kind of like a basis understanding, you know, because you know, so much out in the market. So back to your question, what's the difference? Is basically, I would say Western or traditional astrology kind of like explains how a person is. So in a reading, you know, there sits someone and his interpretation shows you how you are. But now, for instance, our generation, Michelle, we are kind of like our own Freudian and Jung analysis, meaning we shred ourselves through, again and again, like asking, how do I function? Why am I so? And blah, blah, blah. So basically, we don't need necessarily like an analytical therapy to figure out how we are, because we usually know. Evolutionary astrology goes deeper. It looks at who you've been or what your soul has experienced in previous incarnations, and therefore what kind of like subconscious memories of likes and dislikes of good karma, meaning abilities that are just easy for you, i.e. Mozart, or negative karma that you constantly run against the same wall and you just don't get it. So evolutionary astrology kind of like explains why you are the way you are. And from that, you know, widened perspective, embracing previous incarnations, not necessarily to say, oh, you've been Cleopatra, but to describe like the core themes through a string of previous incarnations, you basically get a basic understanding not only how you are, but also why you are, why you incarnated in certain family structures, why you struggle with certain things. And the nice thing about evolutionary astrology, it is also able, via embracing the nodes of the moon, what your individual orientation should be in this life as the soul's puppet on a string. I know that sounds strange, but actually me...
No, we are, though. Many people think
that the soul would be just, you know, a little, like, disturbing organ somewhere in the guts, and, you know, and you're in charge, you know?
Well, this is why I'm so happy you're saying that. This because what people are going to wake up to, I mean, the big wake-up call, awakening call, is that where you are directed by your soul's input.
Exactly.
Or what you've come right to do on a soul level. So a lot of these, you know, books, you can do be anything with enough affirmations, it doesn't work anyway, but are really going to be thrown out the window. And then people are going to start looking around and going, okay, what am I really here to do?
Mm-hmm.
What is my soul's work?
That is exactly right. And especially when this question arises, you know, be it about purpose, and keep in mind, patriarchal societies, a little bit like British Empire, before the big changes happened, was that we have to find our purpose. And purpose very often was defined in a more masculine, or as David Deida, a wonderful philosopher, says, the masculine in the universe is more like New York City, like numbers, avenues, boom, 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 input, output.
Okay.
Whereas the source of life, the feminine, despite the misinterpretation of the Bible's translation of the first book of Moses, where it said that that male God father created, like, you know, a baby boy Adam, and he was bored and he got a rip and that became Eve, you know. Well, if you read it in Hebrew, you know, the creator God in the first Moses is Elohim, which is a male female plural word, meaning like so basically the goddess and God's consciousness that is one, created in their image, the Adam, which is mankind. Meaning every human being is male-female, not in a sexual orientation, but in the very essence of the soul.
That's
but as we incarnate, Right. And as we incarnate in this world, we can either choose, you know, to wear a skirt or like trousers or pants
right.
in American English.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey,
sorry.
We have a call. Let me see who's on the line.
Okay, perfect. Lovely. Yes.
Cool. 216-326, you're on the air with Awakenings.
Goddess Awakening, how are you doing? This is Conscious.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Hey, Conscious. Hey, yes, can hear you. You are on the air with Ulrich.
How are you doing, Ulrich?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for calling. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. I just I enjoy the information that you're sharing with the individuals in the forum. Much appreciated. When you're
thank
speaking
you.
In reference to prior to like this, I follow a multitude of the hermaphrodite consciousness, matter came into existence where one aspect of the consciousness actually turned to energy and another aspect of the consciousness to matter. Did I look at it from that point of view?
You know, right now I really have a problem. There was obviously statics, so I heard you like on and off, on and off.
Yeah, the phone was going out conscious. But I kind of got something, see if this is right, something
okay.
to the effect that did one part of the energy... One part went into energy and one part into matter. Could we look at ourselves like that also? Is that what you're saying?
Okay. You know, I mean, it's always difficult to describe something beyond time and space into words that belong to time and space. What I'm trying to say is like, you know, grasping like Einstein's relativity theory is really difficult for us because, you know, we're running out of time, you know. So my image, if I may say that... The world of matter is basically a dense form of energy, as Michelle referred before she picked up my phone call. And so basically everything is energy and vibration, just in different densities. And so the
right.
time-space universe is a form of like also like just atoms, you know, spinning around. But as we, our physical bodies or ego eyes, identify with that, we perceive it as matter. If you imagine for a moment the ocean, the beautiful Pacific Ocean, for instance, it is the eternal, or in astrological terms, we could say Pisces, meaning the origin where everything stands for, from, and returns to. But the ocean forms waves. So part of the ocean water gets its own form, and therefore, if we correlate water with consciousness, or some do it with emotion, basically that part of the ocean water has now its own form slash its own consciousness slash its own identity. In astrology, we would say that would correlate with Scorpio or with Pluto, and in astrology, that would be a fixed quality. So if that soul is now rolling over the ocean, it thinks or it feels, hey, I'm the soul, I'm the wave. But in reality, it is simultaneously part of the ocean.
Right.
And when we look at the soul more closely, we see little kind of wrinkle-ish kind of like waves on the surface. So little tiny ocean waves that became the soul wave became now the little tiny wave that I correlate with the ego, meaning that part of the emotional consciousness of the divine ocean water that is soul water, the big wave, that now becomes an emotional bubble like a chewing gum that is blown into the physical body called incarnation. And that is what I call the ego, meaning I, Ulrich, need my ego to say, I'm Ulrich, I'm 43 years old, my website is ulrichbolt.com, all those kind of things. So that was a good commercial, huh, wasn't it?
It was great, I love it.
I know, yeah, Jupiter and Gemini, you know. So basically, you know, when we are in the physical body, the soul kind of like dreams that this is real, but it's not the soul necessarily, but this little like, wrinkle-ish kind of like ego, and when the body's time is up and we quote-unquote die, that little tiny wrinkle-ish wave on the surface of the big soul wave is just reabsorbed into the big wave for a while.
Right,
makes sense?
Right.
So if we look
it
at the whole wave,
a lot of
pardon me?
It makes a lot of sense. I follow you.
Yeah, okay. You know, those kind of things usually are explained best in metaphors or in allegories, you know, because then we kind of like get the image without having to be linear or empirically logic. So basically, if we look at the soul wave for another moment, there's not only one tiny wrinkled wave, there are many, many, many. So basically, we could say the soul experiences all incarnations at the same time. But that time is beyond our time. It's in the time and spacelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And through those wrinkles or through the stream or the ocean wind that the Tibetan Buddhists say, the winds of karma and evolution, the soul rolls over the ocean. And, you know, driven by its own desires to maintain identity, i.e., I'm a soul, but for maintaining identity, the soul or the wave has to roll over the ocean, meaning it has to go through, as Goethe, a German philosopher, said, to death and relive processes, the phoenix out of the ash, or as we just say, metamorphosis. So at one point, the drive of separating desires means desires that are within the soul, that are inherent to the soul, which is part of the ocean, i.e. the divine consciousness, when they are lived out or lived through emotionally, because when we're talking about the element of water, the soul's drive decreases. And at one point, it starts to reunite with the ocean. That's why, like, there's an Eastern Indian saying where the wave says to the ocean, "Ah, ocean, I would love to be ocean, but I'm a wave. What shall I do?" And the ocean smiles and says, "Relax." So all of our relaxation or meditation techniques are basically for us to re-member our little egos, the tiny waves, to be part of the big wave, and for the big wave to be part of the eternal. And the moment when we are completely reuniting with our own source, we will see that it never happened because we have always been ocean. So again, we see the paradox. Yeah?
Right.
Does that kind of help a little bit to your question?
You know what? In ancient times, we called it the primeval waters of the noon, which basically was all of the sin and occurred. And from the ripple effect, the other ripple effect, and then it went from a form of differentiation to differentiation, where each ripple or wave, like you stated, began to. Yes.
Conscious, we heard a bit of it. I like that. You said the primordial waters in ancient times. I love that.
Yes,
the noon. I have another question for you, and this one is going to sound far-fetched, but I think the listeners, themself, and me, on a thing.
Well, I hope we get this, Conscious, because the phone keeps going out. Your phone keeps going out. I think you're on an internet phone. I hope we get this. So let's try not to move or try to do something so the phone doesn't go out.
Yes. And if not, Michelle, maybe if you hear it better, then translate, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Better?
Okay, this is my question. I'm going to make it brief. So in all actuality, we exist as individuals. But the moment that one actually leaves this objective realm, in all actuality, the world in which we see, it ends.
Yes.
The consciousness goes back to the noon, to the all. So if you looked at it from my individual perspective, with raindrops falling from a storm,
right,
then once your raindrop lands in its geographical location, then the whole total resistance evaporates and the cycle begins.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's a little bit like the soap bubble I described before in San Francisco. You know, the particles are moving on the bubble, but on the other hand, the bubble stays the bubble. Of course, at one point it pops, but that's just, you know, because it's soap bubble. But like, just to take the metaphor. Or if you're interested in that, because there's one book that I love. It's My Little Bible, and it's actually by an American author. His name is Robert Adams. And just to briefly, have you heard of him?
No, what's the book?
No.
I'm putting it in the chat. Robert Adams.
Robert Adams, Silence of the Heart. Silence of the Heart. Robert Adams is really a cool guy because he had his enlightenment, meaning like when the soul awakes, which is like a huge explosion, like brighter than millions of suns, or as the Tibetans, they call it the core light of the consciousness, which is a really bright kind of like, you know, like lightning, but much brighter. Usually, sometimes we have those lightnings, maybe we fall asleep or during sleep, but we have, you know, enlightenment is not, it just comes and stays, but usually we slowly wake up, like in the morning, you know, except you have a kickstart because you overslept and have to go to work. But so it's a slow process where the light explodes, and then for years you might have to integrate it, and then the next thing comes. But this Robert Adams, when he, I think he was 14, he lived in Brooklyn, during a math test in school, this explosion happened and it maintained. So afterwards, his life didn't work anymore because he was awoken, meaning he had realized that what he called Robert was the dream of his own consciousness.
Yeah.
And this guy was going through diverse masters. He also was like living with Paramahansa, Yogananda, and all that. And at the end of his life, he settled down in California. And what he did was satsang, meaning, you know, as an enlightened being, kind of like gives lectures, but they're not to be embraced literally or empirically, but they shall trigger the sleeping soul to awake. And out of these lectures before his satsang, this book was made, Robert Adams. It is absolutely amazing because it's dogma-free, and he manages to describe the difference between our I consciousness and the self consciousness, capital S self,
yeah,
meaning
the
soul.
I.
Exactly, yeah. And yeah. So that is really something that might be really interesting relative to your question.
I appreciate it. I'm going to look for the book now.
Yeah. But thank you so much.
Due to my,
you're breaking up again.
Into the chat form, so thank you.
Okay,
thank
you're
going
to
you
go in the chat
room.
Okay, great.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Great. Yeah, Tammy's saying in the chat, that's why we have satsang. In a sense, this is a satsang or sangha. We're like-minded, we're coming together, and we don't even know necessarily on a surface mind level or personality level the changes that are happening by all of our resonant frequencies coming together.
Absolutely.
It's like, and you say, oh, Rich, it's a remembering, you know?
It is. And I just love it because, you know, when you spell remember with a dash after the re, R-E dash,
yeah.
And see in ancient times like the Aramaic.
I do that, by the way.
Oh, you
do? I
do
that. Yeah. Yeah, I know what a resonant. Now, Ulrich, we have a couple questions. Now, are you able to answer a couple questions if people have their Earth data?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be very happy to.
Okay, because 1320 in the chat, which, what is your name, by the way? Wanted to know anything coming, anything they need to know for in 2009, and I have their birth data. Should I give you?
Okay, yeah. But keep it in mind that, hold on, I have the computer here.
Or just maybe by the month, day, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Just...
yeah. Okay. Do you have the birth information?
Yeah, 7/21.
So that's 21st of July.
Yeah, 21st of July, 1953.
Yeah, I do the European one.
Yeah, so Tammy did one of the, 1953.
Do we have a birth time?
7:14 a.m., and I had the date where she was born, but I don't, put it back in, please. Put back in the where you were born.
Do we have the place of birth?
Let's see. That's what I'm asking her, too. We need,
okay.
1320, we need place of birth. She put it, but there was so much in the chat.
Okay. Well, you know, just to say, you know, often people see astrology as a vehicle, like, for predictions.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it more as a vehicle of weather forecast, meaning not so much.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
There's
a storm coming, but I cannot tell if Mrs. Miller takes an umbrella or not. I can only tell her, listen, there's kind of storm coming up, and this is the evolutionary
purpose. Exactly.
Here's, so, you know,
it's Roanoke, okay. R-O-A-N-O-K-E.
R-O-A-N?
R-O-A-N-O-K-E, Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. So basically what I always recommend for the other listeners is sometimes a chart reading of the natal chart, especially from an evolutionary point of view, gives us the insights, like, you know, if someone tells you what happened in previous chapters of the book, for you to understand the current chapter better, for then to be able to embrace your own ability to understand what the next chapter should be about to stay, as you said, Michelle, in alignment with the soul, which evolutionary astrology would, in a good reading, or in a evolutionary reading, it would, like, focus, okay, Mrs., I just called a client here because we don't have a number, just number one, yeah, for the purpose.
Okay,
of
her name's Ginger. Yeah, Ginger.
Ginger. Okay, lovely. So basically, for Ginger, if I look at her horoscope, her primarily business. So I'm just looking just briefly. Her primarily thing is that there's she's born into this world with a very strong subconscious knowledge about matriarchal spirituality, even to the extent that a part of her did not want to get out of the womb. So probably birth was also very difficult. And there's a tendency to a little bit to reject, you know, being in the world, because she has very deep and deep wisdom of how it is on the other side, on the eternal side, on the other side of the rotating door, so to speak, of death and birth. So, and relative to her truly spiritual, matriarchal memories of past lives, she is a little bit confused, basically, since the ancient Rome and Greek, where this patriarchal kind of religious dogma started to come up, like early Christians and et cetera, she's confused if she should listen to her inner being, which is more like a river that just gently flows to whatever landscape ever comes up, knowing that the ocean will await her, or if she should do the patriarchal kind of, like, let's say, sitting on a hard stool and meditating, something like, I mustn't eat ice cream, those kind of things. So basically, in her chart, it shows in this life, as she brought in a confusion relative to what's the right spiritual path. Is it more the trusting my inner senses, emotions, feelings, perceptions? Do I allow my physical body to be as holy as my mind and my thinking, i.e. Adam? Or shall I do the suppressing of emotions and longings, and if I suffer enough, I get some rewards? So basically, in the overall chart, and I'll just keep that as brief as possible, the chart says, in this life, it is highly important for her to do anything that re-empowers her. I just love this word.
Wow. Yeah. Love it.
But basically, you know, it's like if your beautiful vase and it got scattered, and now you put all the pieces together for you to have all of your strength, or shamans would probably say to bring soul pieces back into the pot. Like, she should create a life of her own arena where she can really, truly re-embrace, or re-dash-member, as you and I say, re-dash-member her true spiritual thing that is based beyond patriarchal right and wrongs, but in a very natural way of diving emotionally inside. But on that journey, the chart says, the natal chart, that she will have to go through many, many emotional and physical bumps, which are nothing else than the old absorbed pain and guilt trips that she had from previous lives, including physical traumas and physical violations, and also from this life, especially from her early childhood. Yeah, the mom that was kind of like emotionally very, very harsh on her, so she couldn't understand the needs of baby girl Ginger. Ginger was the name, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So basically, this year, back to her question, as Pluto has now just entered Capricorn for the very first time in 246 years, meaning like last time it was in there, the United States were founded and trying to separate from the old world.
Now, Ulrich, Mr. Jupiter in the third, okay, we got one more question, so just be brief with her Pluto and Capricorn.
Okay, basically... right now, it is, this year is a time for her, especially to work very hard and to give herself the permission to go back into childhood memories, especially even with a holistic therapist or forms of hypnotherapy that must include also afterwards a physical release work. You know, is it like in a bathtub or something? For this year is for her to work on her honesty and to re-empower herself, even though she might not see things blossoming. But this year is about investing in herself. For by the end of the year, let's say like by the fall, for her to kind of like reoccur in the world and say, ta-ta, world, I've cleansed my things, I got my things in order. So a very practical advice is make a list of things to do and just start doing them for the sake of doing them, like a centipede just walking, not counting the legs, but applying them. Sorry for my big mouth.
That's okay. No, it's good. It's good info. That was a good read. Now, one more, which is Tammy, which is 719. Yeah.
Hold on. My computer is not as fast as okay. Tammy. Yep.
Yeah, which is 7-1, which is July, or excuse me, January. 7-1. Yeah, 7-1, 1957.
57.
In San Diego.
What time?
Tammy, you didn't give me the time. The time. We need the time. She didn't give me the time. What they can hear me. So if she types in the time, then we got it. Otherwise, I know that's the date. It's January 7th, but we need the birth time.
We need
1:30 a.m. Yeah, 1:30 a.m.
Okay, give me a second.
And Ginger is saying thank you so much.
Okay, I hope it helps. Yeah. But she should be sweet to herself, like Ginger should be like, you know, her best girlfriend.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of like unresolved child needs that she had to become like a premature adult. So sweet kind of a therapies would be helpful. Now to Tammy, Tammy is born with a Scorpio rising, has Neptune on the ascendant. So this year, you know, is basically, let me just look it up real quickly. If she has not moved, like, you know, in the outer world, changed her kind of environment, her home kind of things, because Jupiter is going over her fourth house cusp, she has Aquarius there, then, and if she's not planning to move, it is very likely a year where she should do a lot of inner emotional homework,
yeah,
a lot of release, because she, like Ginger, carries a very, very deep pain about her mother and the early childhood upbringing. Very likely even grew up for a while at a grandparent. But there's a deep longing inside of her coming to, like, you know, bringing that inner child back in to re-member, which, you know, will, especially in this year when Uranus will go over her moon, which is located in the fifth house in Pisces, might bring a little bit of, like, not a little bit, but like quite some spinning cycle, as if you, like, do the laundry and then it goes into spinning cycle. The evolutionary tension will be to speed up all the emotional dynamics to kind of like eliminate what naturally does not belong to her, i.e. the water in the laundry, to then kind of like be renewed. So this year, she should also look at her, like, not overall health, but especially it could be that she's very easily, on the one hand, hyper and therefore even dehydrated, on the other hand, exhausted from being so hyper. Even sleep patterns might be affected by the whole thing, meaning she goes to bed and is bling awake. She wakes up in the morning, if she even had some good sleep, and goes like, oh, my God, I'm so drained. So even though I'm not a doctor and mustn't say that, I would recommend to go to a holistic kind of practitioner and ask for extra strengthening things like electrolytes or a vitamin B complex, but it has to be checked by a doctor. So the intention is to really liberate her inner child and go back in time, similar to Ginger, to embrace and also to make changes in her private life and into her life arena with the attitude, as Krishnamurti said, liberation from the known, meaning anything that does not serve its purpose anymore for her to feel sound and well with herself, and therefore she can use her wonderful key of being honest, or as you said, Michelle, before we started the interview, that when we start loving ourselves, not that what we should be, but via our senses or smiling in our hearts, if we just embrace, okay, me, Ulrich, I have business background, but I'm an astrologer, period. I live it. If someone cannot take it, okay, that's fine with me. So basically, if Tammy starts to really embrace who she really is in a natural way, including embracing her physical body, because there's also quite some rejections on the physical body. It seems as if the father was disappointed that it was, quote-unquote, only a girl. So throughout her life, she tries to live up to the expectations of, hey, Dad, I know I'm only a girl, but see, I can do this and this and this, and I'm really, like, you know, able to do that and that. So very ambitious, but she never relaxes. But her emotional body by that gets extremely drained or hyper, like, bzzz. So this year is a lot to, in this hyperness, to find relaxation. A lot of body work would be helpful. If it's about business, because a lot of things in Tammy's life are around business and money and those kind of things, this year is actually a very good year to, you know, if she's in a work environment that reflects what she naturally wants to do, this is a good time to slowly but profoundly make step by step and improve. If she's in a work environment she has learned to settle for less, this year might be the spinning cycle, where eventually some outer things might disappear, which appears to be like, oh my God, you know, what am I going to live off? But if she goes inside, embraces, even with doing a happy list, like a wish list, dear universe, I'm asking for a professional path where I can. And then she puts all the kind of like desires in, like a little child when she writes wish lists for Santa Claus. And when she's done with a list, to write at the very end where I can make the money that I need and more, which is natural principle. And then she reads out the list once in the morning, once in the evening for at least 3 months. She will see that she's like, you know, kind of like magnetizing herself into the vibration that she naturally is relative to her desire structure. And then via the resonance, she will attract situations. So it's a good year in business, a difficult year in private life.
Well, we are winding down, Ulrich, believe it or not.
Unbelievable.
I know. Everyone, we've been speaking with Ulrich Bold, and you can reach him at ulrichbold.com.
That's right.
And it's been amazing connecting, Ulrich. We'll have to have you back on. It's been way too long.
Yes. I'm so grateful and you know, to happy to hear your voice, because you know, it was such a joy to meet you once at Paramount Pictures with this Oracle show.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And
yeah, for those listening, we did a TV show together, and it was we got along well. We had a good time anyway.
Oh, absolutely. And Michelle was just striking. I mean, she was just the star of the show. Which kind of like upset because some other little people that were.
I know, wasn't that funny? How that happened? I didn't plan
well,
it. Didn't plan
and not
it.
To mention not to mention any names, but one of them got her own life, you know, filmed now. You know.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, whatever. Yeah. You know, I wish you the best. But just one thing, right now, as I'm traveling, because I come from Canada, do some workshops here in California. Like mm-hmm. on Sunday, I will be in San Diego giving a one-day workshop. Sunday, the 15th of March.
Oh.
A one-day workshop.
Here.
Right. So if there's
people
call us like from San Diego, where I will go for like a 6-7 hour workshop on Sunday, March 15th. Through the evolutionary paradigms, like people that are already skilled in basic astrology, they might be interested in that. On my website, there's an event calendar where you can look it up. Usually it's always updated, but recently my webmaster and I have difficulties with the web host. So we're, you know, right now I cannot update certain things. Yeah?
Okay.
But that should be fixed latest when I'm back in Germany, where I live in the meantime, but I'm very often in the States. My website always shows where I am. And if I don't respond to emails right away, then my apology. Sometimes I'm just working too much that in the evening after 12 hours, I do not want to see any email anymore.
Right.
So
you have a workshop this Sunday.
This Sunday, exactly, yes.
Which is what, March?
March 15th. Oh. And it is
okay.
In San Diego. And so if you go on my website, ulrichbold.com, and click on the event calendar, and you scroll
okay,
down to March 15th, you see the phone number, the email address of the local organizer, who's the one to contact, and she could give all the information.
Okay, I'm putting that in the chat. So just go to the event calendar at Ulrich Bold. Those people are listening, ulrichbold.com, and you can find out about his upcoming workshop in San Diego as well as other events that are going on. Okay, so we're... show's on, but not streaming live. So, because we went over a little bit, which is fine. The people listening in the archives or via iTunes will hear the last bit of this that we're
okay.
chatting about now. Great. Well, it's great as usual. It's amazing to connect again, and you've got a lot of info. I love it. We got to have you come back. I got to book you for a longer show.
So with my big mouth and your beautiful Venus, Michelle, we should eventually, yes.
We kept going. It's great. But I think everybody got a lot of great info, and I can come back to the archives and listen more or absolutely go to your website, ulrichbold.com, and also their book is available on Amazon, so there's more info there.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Ulrich.
Thank you so much. I send you a big, big hug. And if I do
big
have time while I drive through Los Angeles, I might give you a call and just see if you have time, because it would be
yeah.
a joy just to see you again. You're as beautiful inside as outside.
Oh.
And I wish, you know, that we all, you know, would just embrace who we naturally are, because we would truly have a bigger planet.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what we're doing ourselves and assisting others to do. I think that's the new wave, right?
Absolutely.
That's what this evolution is about.
Yeah.
All right, blessings to you.
To you too,
and
all the blessings. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
All righty, take care,
okay.
Ulrich.
Bye, Michelle. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. And so we were talking with Ulrich Bold, evolutionary astrologer, also a healer and facilitator of the constellation work. You can find out more about Ulrich at ulrichbold.com.